By truth here, no other truth is meant than such as he believes to be true, though it be not true in itself. And by sciences are not meant such as the learned have, but everything of the scientific with which one can be imbued from experience and by hearing, from civic life, from doctrine, and from the word. The man of the spiritual church is in the affection of such things. That it may be known what it is to be in the affection of truth and what to be in the affection of good, we will briefly state that they who are in the affection of truth think, search out, and discuss whether a thing be true or whether it be so. And when they are confirmed that it is true or that it is so, they think, search out, and discuss what it is, and thus stick fast at the first threshold, nor can they be admitted into wisdom until they are free from doubt. But they who are in the affection of good, from the good itself in which they are, know and perceive that the thing is so, and thus are not at the first threshold, but are in the inner chamber, being admitted into wisdom. Take as an example that it is celestial to think and act from the affection of good, or from good. They who are in the affection of truth discuss whether this be so, whether it be possible, and what it is. And so long as they are occupied with doubts about it, they cannot be admitted. But they who are in the affection of good do not discuss, nor busy themselves with doubts, but affirm that it is so, and are therefore admitted. For they who are in the affection of good, that is, who are celestial, begin where they who are in the affection of truth, that is, who are spiritual, stop, so that the furthest boundary of the latter is the first of the former. For this reason it is given to them to know, to recognize, and to perceive that there are innumerable affections of good, as many, in fact, as there are societies in heaven, and that they are all conjoined by the Lord into a celestial form, so as to constitute, as it were, one man. And it is also given them to distinguish by perception the kind and variety of each affection. Or take this example, that all delight, blessedness, and happiness are solely of love, and that such as the love is, such is the delight, the blessedness, and the happiness. The spiritual man keeps his natural mind fixed on the question whether it be so, and whether the happiness be not from some other source, as from social intercourse, conversation, meditation, and learning, or from possessions and the honor, reputation, and glory of them, not confirming himself in the fact that these affect nothing, but only the affection of love such as there is in them. But the celestial man does not stick in these preliminaries, but affirms that it is so, and is therefore in the end itself and the use, that is, in the very affections of the love which are innumerable, and in every one of which there are ineffable things, and this with variation of delight, blessedness, and happiness, to eternity. Take also as an example that the neighbor is to be loved for the good that is in him. They who are in the affection of truth think, search out, and discuss whether this be true or whether it be so, what the neighbor is and what good is, nor do they go any further, and therefore they close to themselves the gate to wisdom. But they who are in the affection of good affirm that it is so, and therefore do not close that gate to themselves, but enter in and know and recognize and perceive from good who is more the neighbor than another, also in what degree he is the neighbor, and that all are neighbors in different degrees. And thus they perceive ineffable things beyond those who are only in the affection of truth. Take further this example, that he who loves his neighbor for the good that is in him loves the Lord. They who are in the affection of truth examine carefully whether it be so, and if they are told that he who loves his neighbor for the good that is in him loves the good, and that as all good is from the Lord and the Lord is in the good, when any one loves good he also loves him from whom it is and in which he is, they examine whether it be so, also what good is, and whether the Lord is in good more than in truth. And so long as they stick in such things, they cannot see wisdom even at a distance. But they who are in the affection of good know from perception that it is so, and they immediately see the field of wisdom leading even to the Lord. From all this we can see why they who are in the affection of truth, that is, the spiritual, have obscurity in comparison with those who are in the affection of good, that is, the celestial. Nevertheless, the spiritual can come from obscurity into light, provided they are willing to be in the affirmative that all good is of love to the Lord and of charity toward the neighbor, and that love and charity are spiritual conjunction, and that all blessedness and happiness are from these, and thus that celestial life is in the good of love from the Lord, but not in the truth of faith separate from it. In this chapter, the Lord's rational has first been treated of as being made divine, which rational is Isaac. Then the merely human rational as being separated, which is the son of Hagar the Egyptian. And afterwards the spiritual church, which was saved by the Lord's divine human, which church is Hagar and her child. Now the doctrine of faith is treated of, which is to be serviceable to that church, namely, that human rationals from scientifics are adjoined to it, which are Abimelech and Phicol. This conjunction is signified by the covenant which Abraham made with them. These reasonings are appearances, not from a divine, but from a human origin, which are adjoined for the reason that without them the spiritual church would not comprehend doctrine, and thus would not receive it. For, as was shown above, number 2715, the man of the spiritual church is relatively in obscurity. The doctrine is therefore to be clothed with such appearances as are of human thought and affection, and not in such discrepancy, but that the divine good can have in them some kind of receptacle. As Abimelech is again treated of in the following 26th chapter, and also a covenant, but with Isaac, and in the internal sense, the rationals and scientifics added to the doctrine of faith a second time, only a summary may here be given of the things contained in the internal sense, which will become clearer by the explication of that chapter. 2720, verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol the captain of his army said unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Verse 23. And now swear unto me hereby God, that thou wilt not be false to me, nor to my son, nor to my son's son. According to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. Verse 24. And Abraham said, I will swear. Verse 25. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had taken away. Verse 26. And Abimelech said, I know not who hath done this word, neither didst thou tell me, neither heard I of it but today. Verse 27. And Abraham took flock and herd, and gave to Abimelech, and they too struck a covenant. Verse 28. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Verse 29. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What are these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? Verse 30. And he said, Because these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that it may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Verse 31. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear, both of them. Verse 32. And they struck a covenant at Beersheba. And Abimelech rose up, and Phicol the captain of his army. And they returned into the land of the Philistines. It came to pass at that time, signifies the state in which the Lord was when his rational was made divine. And Abimelech and Phicol the captain of his army said unto Abraham, signifies the human rational things from scientifics that were to be adjoined to the doctrine of faith, which in itself is divine. saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest, signifies that it was divine as to all things both in general and in particular. And now swear unto me here by God, signifies affirmation, that thou wilt not be false to me, signifies without a doubt, nor to my son, nor to my son's son, signifies concerning the things of faith. According to the kindness that I have done unto thee, signifies the rational things in which the Lord had been previously instructed. Thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned, signifies what is reciprocal. And Abraham said, I will swear, signifies all that is affirmative. And Abraham reproved Abimelech, signifies the Lord's indignation, because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had taken away, signifies as to the doctrine of faith that the scientifics desired to attribute it to themselves. And Abimelech said, signifies a reply, I know not who hath done this word, signifies that the rational dictated something different. Neither didst thou tell me, signifies that it was not from the divine. Neither heard I of it but today, signifies that it was now first disclosed. And Abraham took flock and herd and gave to Abimelech, signifies the divine goods implanted in the rational things of doctrine signified by Abimelech. And they too struck a covenant, signifies conjunction thus. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves, signifies the holiness of innocence. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What are these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? Signifies that he should be instructed and would acknowledge. And he said, Because these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, signifies that the holiness of innocence is from the divine. That it may be a witness unto me, signifies certainty, that I have digged this well, signifies that the doctrine was from the divine. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, signifies the state and quality of the doctrine, because there they swear, both of them, signifies from the conjunction. And they struck a covenant in Beersheba, signifies that human rational things were adjoined to the doctrine of faith. And Abimelech rose up, and Phicol the captain of his army, and they returned into the land of the Philistines, signifies that nevertheless these things had no part in the doctrine. Verse 33. And he planted a grove in Beersheba, and he called thereon the name of the God of Eternity. He planted a grove in Beersheba, signifies doctrine with its cognitions and its quality. And he called on the name of the God of Eternity, signifies worship from it. 2722. He planted a grove in Beersheba. That this signifies doctrine thence with its cognitions and its quality is evident from the signification of a grove and from the signification of Beersheba. As regards groves, in the ancient church, holy worship was performed on mountains and in groves. On mountains, because mountains signified the celestial things of worship, and in groves, because groves signified its spiritual things. So long as that church, namely the ancient, was in its simplicity, their worship at that time on mountains and in groves was holy, for the reason that celestial things, which are those of love and charity, were represented by things high and lofty, such as mountains and hills, and spiritual things, which are therefrom, by things fruitful and leafy, such as gardens and groves. But after representatives and significatives began to be made idolatrous by the worship of external things without internal, that holy worship became profane, and they were therefore forbidden to worship on mountains and in groves. That the ancients held holy worship on mountains is evident from the 12th chapter of Genesis, where we read of Abraham. He removed thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the sea, and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar, and called on the name of Yahweh. Verse 8, number 1449-1455. And also from the signification of a mountain as being the celestial of love. Number 795, 796, 1430. That they also held holy worship in groves is evident from what is stated in this verse. Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the God of eternity. And also from the signification of a garden as being intelligence. Number 100, 108, 1588. And of trees as being perceptions. Number 103, 2163. That this was forbidden is evident from the following passages. In Moses, thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any tree beside the altar of Yahweh thy God, which thou shalt make thee. And thou shalt not set thee up a pillar, which Yahweh thy God hateth. Deuteronomy 16, verses 21 and 22. In the same, the altars of the nations shall ye break down, and dash in pieces their pillars, and cut down their groves. Exodus 34, verse 13. And they were commanded to burn the groves of the nations with fire. Deuteronomy 12, verse 3. And as the Jews and Israelites, among whom the representative ritual of the ancient church was introduced, were solely in externals, and at heart were nothing but idolaters, neither knowing nor wishing to know what anything internal was, nor the life after death, nor even that the Messiah's kingdom was a celestial one. Therefore, whenever they were in freedom, they held profane worship on mountains and hills, and also in groves and forests. And likewise, in place of mountains and hills, they made for themselves high places, and in place of groves, carved representations of a grove, as is evident from many passages in the Word. As in the book of Judges. The sons of Israel served Balaam and the groves. 3, verse 7. In the book of Kings, Israel made groves, provoking Yahweh. First book of Kings, 14, verse 15. And in another place, Judah built them high places and pillars and groves upon every high hill and under every green tree. First book of Kings, 14, verse 23. And again, Israel built them high places in all their cities, and set up pillars and groves upon every high hill, and under every green tree. Second book of Kings, 17, verses 9 and 10. And again, Manasseh king of Judah reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and set the carved image of the grove which he had made in the house of God. Second book of Kings, 21, verses 3 and 7. From which it is manifest that they also made for themselves carved images of a grove. That these were destroyed by King Josiah may be seen in the same book. Josiah caused all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove, and for the sun and the moon, and for all the army of the heavens, to be brought out of the temple of Yahweh, and he burnt them without Jerusalem, and the houses which the women had woven there for the grove. He also cut down the groves which Solomon had made, and likewise the grove in Bethel which Jeroboam had made. Second book of Kings, 23, verses 4, 6, 7, 13 to 15. That King Hezekiah also demolished such things may be seen in the same book. Hezekiah, king of Judah, removed the high places, and brake the pillars, and cut down the grove, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent which Moses had made. Second book of Kings, 18, verse 4. That the brazen serpent was holy in the time of Moses is evident, but when the external was worshipped, it became profane, and was broken in pieces, for the same reason that worship on mountains and in groves was forbidden. These things are still more evident in the prophets, in Isaiah. Inflaming yourselves with gods under every green tree, sacrificing the children in the rivers under the crags of the rocks. Thou hast also poured out a drink offering to the rivers. Thou hast offered a gift. Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set thy habitation, and thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. 57 verses 5 to 7. In the same, in that day shall a man look unto his Maker, and his eyes shall see the Holy One of Israel. And he shall not look to the altars the work of his hands, neither shall he see that which his fingers have made, and the groves and the sun images. 17 verses 7 and 8. In Micah, I will cut off thy graven images and thy pillars out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more bow thyself down to the work of thy hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy cities. 5 verses 13 and 14. In Ezekiel, that their slain may be among their idols, round about their altars, upon every high hill, on all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every tangled oak, the place where they did offer an odor of rest to all their idols. 6 verse 13. From all this it is now manifest from what origin idolatrous worship came, namely the worship of objects that were representative and significative. The most ancient people who were before the flood saw in each and everything, in mountains, hills, plains, and valleys, gardens, groves, and forests, rivers and waters, fields and plantations, trees and animals of every kind, and the luminaries of heaven, something representative and significative of the Lord's kingdom. But they never dwelt with their eyes, still less with their minds, on these objects. But these things served them as means for thinking about the celestial and spiritual things in the Lord's kingdom. And this to such a degree that there was nothing at all in universal nature that did not serve them as such means. The real fact is that everything in nature is representative, which is an archonym at this day, and scarcely believed by anyone. But after the celestial, which is of love to the Lord, had perished, the human race was then no longer in that state, namely that from objects as means they could see the celestial and spiritual things of the Lord's kingdom. Yet the ancients after the flood knew from traditions and from collections made by certain persons that these things had such a signification, and as they were significative, they esteemed them holy. Hence came the representative worship of the ancient church, which church, being spiritual, was not in the perception that a thing was so, but in the cognition of the fact, for it was relatively in obscurity. Number 2715. Nevertheless, they did not worship outward things, but by means of outward things they called to mind inward things. And hence, when they were in those representatives and significatives, they were in holiness of worship. They were able to be so because they were in spiritual love, that is, in charity, which they made an essential of worship, and therefore holiness from the Lord could flow into their worship. But when the state of the human race had become so changed and perverted that they removed themselves from the good of charity, and thus no longer believed that there was any celestial kingdom or any life after death, but that men were in a similar condition with animals, save only that they could think, as is also believed at this day, then the holy representative worship was turned into idolatry, and the outward things were worshipped. Hence, with many Gentiles at that time, and also with the Jews and Israelites, the worship was not representative, but was a worship of the representatives and significatives, that is, of the outward things without the inward. As regards groves in particular, among the ancients they were of various signification, and indeed according to the kinds of trees in them. Groves of olive trees signified the celestial things of worship. Groves of vines signified the spiritual things of worship. But groves of fig trees, cedars, fir trees, poplars, and oaks signified various things relating to what is celestial and spiritual. In the passage before us, mention is made simply of a grove or plantation of trees. And this signifies the things of reason that were adjoined to doctrine and its cognitions. For trees in general signify perceptions. Number 103, 2163. But when they are predicated of the spiritual church, they signify cognitions. For the reason that the man of the spiritual church has no other perceptions than those which come through cognitions from doctrine or the word. For these become of his faith, and thus of conscience, from which he has perception. 2723. But in regard to Beersheba, Beersheba signifies the state and quality of the doctrine, namely, that it is divine, and to which what is of the human rational is adjoined, as is evident from the series of things treated of from verse 22 to this verse. See number 2613, 2614. And also from the signification of the word itself in the original language, which is the well of the oath, and of seven. That a well is the doctrine of faith may be seen above, number 2702, 2720. That an oath is conjunction, number 2720. And that a covenant made by an oath has the same meaning, number 1996, 2003, 2021, 2037. And that seven denotes what is holy and thus divine, number 395, 433, 716, 881. From all which it is evident that Beersheba signifies doctrine which is in itself divine, together with things of the human rational, or appearances adjoined. That the name Beersheba comes from all this is manifest from Abraham's words. Because these seven ewe lambs shalt thou take from my hand, that it may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear, both of them. And they struck a covenant in Beersheba. Verses 30 to 32. In like manner from Isaac's words in chapter 26. It came to pass on that day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water. And he called it Sheba, an oath, and seven. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. Verses 32 and 33. There also wells are spoken of, about which there was contention with Abimelech, and a covenant with him is treated of. And by Beersheba are signified human rationals again adjoined to the doctrine of faith. And because they are again adjoined, and the doctrine thus became adapted to human comprehension, it is called a city. That a city signifies doctrine in its complex may be seen above, number 402, 2268, 2450, 2451. Moreover, Beersheba is mentioned with a similar signification as to the internal sense in other places, Genesis 22, verse 19, 26, verses 22 and 23, 28 verse 10, 46 verses 1 and 5, Joshua 25 verse 28, 19 verses 1 and 2, First Book of Samuel 8 verse 2, First Book of Kings 19 verse 3, and also in the opposite sense, Amos 5 verse 5, 8 verses 13 and 14. The extension of the celestial and spiritual things belonging to doctrine is signified in the internal sense, where the extent of the land of Canaan is described by the expression, from Dan even to Beersheba. For by the land of Canaan is signified the Lord's kingdom and also his church. Consequently, the celestial and spiritual things of doctrine, as in the book of Judges. All the sons of Israel went out, and the congregation was assembled as one man from Dan even to Beersheba. 20 verse 1. In the book of Samuel, all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba. First Book of Samuel 3, verse 20. And again, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba. Second Book of Samuel 3, verse 10. And again, Hushai said to Absalom, Let all Israel be gathered together from Dan even unto Beersheba. Second book of Samuel 17, verse 11. And again, David told Joab to go through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba. Second book of Samuel 24, verses 2 and 7. And again, there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. Second book of Samuel 24, verse 15. In the book of Kings, Judah dwelt under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. First book of Kings 4, verse 25. 2724. And called thereon the name of the God of eternity. That this signifies worship therefrom is evident from the signification of calling upon the name of God as being worship. See number 440. They who were of the ancient church did not by a name understand the name, but all the quality. See number 144, 145, 440, 768, 1754, 1896, 2009. And thus by the name of God, all that in one complex by which God was worshipped, consequently everything of love and faith. But when the internal of worship perished, and only the external remained, they then began to understand by the name of God nothing else than the name, so much so that they worshipped the name itself, feeling no care about the love and the faith from which they worshipped. On this account, the nations began to distinguish themselves by the names of their gods, and the Jews and Israelites set themselves up above the rest, because they worshipped Yahuwah, placing the essential of worship in uttering the name and invoking it, when in truth the worship of a name only is no worship, and may also be found among the worst of men, who thereby profane the more. But as by the name of God everything of worship is signified, that is, everything of love and faith from which he is worshipped, it is therefore evident what is meant by Hallowed be thy name in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verse 9. Also by what the Lord said, Ye shall be hated for my name's sake, Matthew 10, verse 22. If two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in the heavens. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. Everyone that hath left his houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit eternal life. Matthew 19, verse 29. Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Matthew 21, verse 9. Jesus said, Ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Matthew 23, verse 39. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and all these things for my name's sake. Matthew 24, verses 9 and 10. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 12. He that believeth not is judged already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3, verse 18. Jesus said, Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. John 14, verses 14 and 15, 15, verse 16, 16, verses 23, 24, 26, and 27. Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto the men. John 17, verse 6. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. John 17, verses 11 and 12. I have made known unto them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. John 17, verse 26. That ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life in his name. John 20, verse 31. Besides very many passages in the Old Testament, in which by the name of Yahuwah and of God, the name is not meant, but everything of love and faith, from which is worship. But they who worship a name only, without love and faith, are thus spoken of in Matthew. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied by thy name, and by thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many mighty works? But I will confess unto them, I know you not. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. 7 verses 22 and 23. When, as before said, the men of the church became external from being internal, and began to place worship in a name alone, they then no longer acknowledged one God, but many. For it was a common thing for the ancients to add something to the name of Yahuwah, and thereby call to mind some benefit or attribute of his, as in the passage before us he called upon the name of the God of eternity, and in the following chapter 22, Abraham called the name of that place Yahuwah Yireh, that is, Yahuwah shall see, verse 14. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Yahuwah Nisi, that is, Yahuwah my banner, Exodus 17, verse 15. Gideon built an altar there unto Yahuwah, and called it Yahuwah Shalom, that is, Yahuwah of peace. Judges 6, verse 24. Besides other places. From this it came to pass that they who placed worship in a name only acknowledged so many gods, and also that among the Gentiles, especially in Greece and at Rome, so many gods were acknowledged and worshipped. Whereas the ancient church, from which the epithets emanated, never worshipped but one God, reverenced under so many names, because by the name they understood the quality.